you. As he comes, I'm going to read a scripture, and this is in Revelation 12. I'm going to start with verse 10. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even unto death." Praise his holy name. All right. Now, Father, Lord, come on over here. Father, bless Fred. And, Lord, thank you for blessing all of us through just the testimony of all that you've done, Lord, in Fred and his life. And we're grateful. And we just ask you that your Holy Spirit give him all freedom and all liberty. And, Lord, we just lift him up right now and thank you for your blessing as we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I was hoping the first time you heard me. A few weeks ago, the pastor called me while I was at work. He didn't know I was at work, and I missed the call because I was actually working then. And I called him back, and he asked me if I would give my testimony. I didn't give him an answer right away because I'm very nervous about speaking in front of people. So if I'm looking down a lot, don't take offense to it. And I prayed on it. And something kept coming to my heart, what I should pray about. And so I knew in my heart that I should give my testimony. And I talked to him a few weeks later and said I'll do it. I talked to my buddy Nathan. He's here supervising work. Renee, my wife, my mom, and a couple buddies from out of town, they said, yes. It's a great honor to give your testimony in church because the Lord is asking you to give your story. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start off with scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." James 4:7-8. "Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded." Well, my story is when my dad's side of family, we were heavy drinkers, and I tried my hardest through my youth and all through high school not to fall into that trap. So I did good until I got to college. And I turned 21, and just trying to fit in, I started drinking and doing it occasionally, until finally I started doing it every weekend. And I felt like it wasn't affecting my life at the time. I was still going to class most of the time, playing basketball, and drank, till finally I started going to class hungover. Sometimes I had night class and I was going in there still buzzing. And I still thought nothing wrong of it because I kept going and doing my everyday activities. So fast forward, I get home from college and I get friends and we're drinking every weekend. I'm working and drinking. And I'm spending whole paycheck at the bar on drinks. And at the time, I didn't think nothing of it. I was like, okay, this is how life's going to be. I'm not hurting nobody. I'm not even hurting myself because this is what I want to do. And I keep going down that path. Eventually, I'm waking up thinking about drinking. I go to work, come home and start. But I feel like I'm functioning all the time. But I know that deep down I should stop, but I didn't have the will to stop because I was enjoying myself all the time. So fast forward again, I met Heather, and I was still drinking, and she didn't approve of it, so I didn't do it around her. When I was hanging out with her, I didn't drink, but when I left her house or I didn't stay with her, I would go have me a couple drinks, go home, sleep, get my day started again, and eventually I got to the point where I was hiding it from her because I knew she didn't approve of it, and I made excuses not to hang out with her so I could go and drink. Then we had kids, and I was still doing it, and I regret this to this day. I blew off my kids sometimes so I can go and have drinks. And I thought it was okay as long as I was still providing for them. But I knew my time was a whole lot more precious than the money I gave. And so keep going from there. Sorry. Eventually, the drinking put a strain on our relationship. We weren't married at the time. I was drinking, giving her money, and she was pulling away, and I was so caught up in myself, I didn't realize it. And I kept doing it, and then eventually one day we spoke about it because I finally realized that she was pulling away from me. And we spoke, and we cried together, and we eventually was going to end it and not be together. And at the time, I was still working with adults with mental issues, and they were going to church every Sunday. So every Sunday, I take them, sit in the back of the church, arms crossed, waiting for the service to be over with so we can get out of there. Well, one Sunday, as I was sitting back there, something came over me. I started crying, and I was just back there crying uncontrollably in the back of the church. One of the men in the church came to me. He says, "What's wrong, brother?" I said, "I don't know. I just got this feeling over me." He said, "Well, at the end of the service, when they do an altar call, do you want to come down?" I said, "I don't know. I'll see." The service went on. At the end, the pastor opened the altar up, and I couldn't get down there fast enough. I got down there, I prayed, got saved, and I felt a heavy burden lift off my shoulders. And I knew right then what I needed to do in my life. First, give the alcohol up. I stopped cold turkey. Since then, I never went back. It's been 5 years now. So life got better. Later that next year, me and Heather got married. We're going on 5 years now, too. I've lost friends along the way. But now I look back at it, do I think they were friends or they want to use me to drink with? So it didn't sadden me that they were gone. So I won my life. Heather, I made new friends. Nate, thank you for coming tonight or today. My mother-in-law, Charlie, uncles, thank y'all. They've always been here. They never knew the story, but they still supported me through everything, supported my family, and I appreciate that. And one thing in my walk with faith with God has always stuck with me is confirmation. Everywhere I turn, it's always confirmation. If I hear one thing the pastor says, I go out and I see that or hear it again. It's always, always like right now. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day who was talking about just everyday life. And I said, "Yeah, I'm nervous about talking because I'm not a public speaker at all." He's like, "Well, I can hear the confidence in your voice. You've gotten better since you've grown up." I was like, yeah. I said, I remember back then I stuttered real bad and I mumbled. He said, yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but I knew it. I was like, well, yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't stutter as much. I think it's God taking over my voice and letting it flow freely. So I thank him for that, and I thank him for my new confidence, because even walking in today, I was scared, nervous, but I'm good now. And I was listening to music this morning, and this lyric of one of my favorite songs stuck in my mind. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. So I didn't know he was there, but he was always there with me. He never let me go. I still go through my fires, but he's there to pull me out. And I love him for that. Another line is, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That day I went to the altar, he heard me, and he answered my prayers. And now I'm thriving. I haven't looked back. Don't want to look back. There's nothing back there for me. So I thank him for that. I thank my wife for that. She stuck with me, and hang on. She stuck with me. My kids been by my side. They have no idea the struggles I had, and I might tell them later on in life, but they don't need to know right now. But they were my anchors. She is my anchor. The Lord is my anchor. They've held me down. Since then, I've wanted to better myself for the Lord and for my family. I've got a better job providing for them. And I have hardships in my job, but now the position I'm in out there, I'm by myself most of the night, so I'm not distracted by other negative things going on. So it's very reassuring when I go to work, I don't have to worry about anybody else trying to bring me down to their level. So that's always a blessing. And the proudest moment in my walk with Christ is my marriage, my children, they're saved. I got to baptize them, and every now and then, we'll be sitting in the living room. Me and Heather will sit in the living room, or she'll be in there, or I'll be in there, and we'll hear them back there in their room singing Christian songs. So we feel like we are raising them right. And I've got a question. This question is for myself. Is following Jesus worth it? Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Beatrice, come on up here a minute, will you? She doesn't even know what I want, but have her come up here anyway. Now, I quote it to her all the time, right? You know, the Word of God says to be ready in season and out. Isn't that what it says? We're just grateful. We're grateful for that and for the testimony of that saving grace. You know, praise God, there you were sitting back there. And the Spirit of the Lord come up on you. I mean, you know, he just said, man, it's time. This is the day. It's time. And moving upon you like that. I tell you, God is so faithful. He's so faithful to move upon us, upon our family, upon our loved ones. We don't want to ever let the evil one cheat us of our faith to where we give up on somebody. You know, well, maybe we've talked till we're blue in the face. Maybe it's like a brick wall. And it may seem like that all the time. And you got that voice of the evil one that's telling you to give up. You know, just give up. What else is there to do? There's nothing else to do. Don't give up. Don't give up. That's the evil one that is working. But God is moving in the midst of it. The Holy Spirit is moving in the midst of it. You know, what is it? Matthew 16, you know, that the Spirit of God has been sent into the world to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's moving. He's always moving. And he moves in a much more mightier and powerful way as we intercede. This is our mission. We're here on this earth for this purpose, for the glory of God, for the salvation of the souls of men. And that's our mission. That's our purpose. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who you are. Whatever you do for a living, praise God, you do that for a living. That's not who you are. You're the servant of the Lord, and you've got a mission in this life. And that may be multifaceted in a lot of ways, but I can tell you part of it. And part of it is to take as many souls with you into eternity as you possibly can affect. That is your mission. First and foremost, above everything else, whatever you've got going on in your life, whatever your interests are, whatever your hobbies may be, whatever your work might be, or how many hours you work or whatever else that it would be, it's every bit of it secondary. It's secondary. When you gave your heart to Jesus, he and his will became the primary focus of who you are and what your life is about. It changed completely. Walk after it and walk in it and see the glory of God. Now I get to you. So just in brief, would you share? Beatrice has a sister named Gladys. If there was ever a hopeless case I ever did see as far as appearance concerned, it would be Gladys. Would you share in brief? Do you mind?
Yeah, Gladys and I are a year apart. She's older than me by just 1 year. Gladys started by, you know, she lived a really rough life. Then at some point, she gave her life to the Lord and started walking with the Lord. And I don't know what changed. Something changed, and she went back down into the deep end. When I say deep end, it is really an unretrievable by human thought. So Gladys went into drinking, partying, every kind of wicked life she could ever think of to do. My mom and dad, when they were alive, they were tormented by Gladys, to a point that she came back and lived with them. She would drink and yell all night long. If I say all night long, it is all night long. She's screaming, she's yelling, she's doing all kinds of stuff. And home was never peaceful at all with Gladys. Mom tried everything she could. Dad tried everything she could. We tried everything we could. We thought maybe it's because, you know, she was a nurse's aide, a CNA. She abandoned that. We thought maybe because she didn't have money, that's why she was doing that. We talked to her, you know, like trying to reason with her. And she said, well, if she had a little business of some kind, she would probably do better. So we all joined together and gave her some money to start a business. Where did the money go? To drinking. There was nothing. So about two months ago, Gladys gave her life to the Lord. She came back to the Lord. I won't go through the whole thing, but she came back to the Lord. This was a case that you would not, I mean, she would argue with you. she would say, I'm saved, but you know, she is not. So I want to thank God very much for Gladys's life. I know it's a work in progress because she has lived years and years in that drinking and all that stuff. But I want to thank God because God is a God of grace. We have prayed for Gladys. There were times where we're like, we don't even want to do anything with her anymore. Because she would, I mean, the spirits in her would aggravate you so bad that you are like, I don't even want to think about her. I don't even want to know that I have somebody who is related to me that way. But God being God saved her. I just, when Ron called me up to come and testify, I heard this song. I know it's, I don't know who sang it, but I just want to finish by singing this song here. When I several times tried to think who God is real to me, I oftentimes get the answer. He's the one who made you and me. And when I try to think it harder, who really got to me, then I'll know that he's a reality from the top to the bottom of my heart. Yes, I know he is a reality. He's a reality. Who is God to you? Who is he to you? Who is he to you? He is the truth, the very life, the greatest giver. Man, what does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? To me, he's my everything. He's a reality. And when I think of who he is to me, what he means to my very soul, he's the light of my life. He's a friend in need, a friend indeed. He is the one who has made me be. He has made my living bright. And I know that he's the reality. When I give my life to him, he can also be the same to you. If you give your life to him, who is God to you? Who is he to you? Who is he to you? He is the truth, the very life, the greatest giver. And why then does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? What does he mean to you? To me, he's my everything. He's a reality. To me, he's my everything. He's a reality. To me, he's my everything. He's a reality.
God, that Jesus, what a reality that we're not worshiping a God that's far off. We're not worshiping a concept. We're not worshiping in a doctrine. You know, the reality of Jesus coming into your life, and that he takes all those old things and removes them and brings newness of life. And then he continues to move in our lives in that newness of life and the power of the Holy Spirit, and how he's given to us to be overcomers. You are an overcomer. The Spirit of God has designated you in Christ Jesus to be an overcomer. Not in your strength or your power or your might, but he has called you in him. It's a name, a title, a place. It's a position that God has designated for all of those that are in Jesus as overcomers. You are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And there's not anything, not one thing, that you cannot or will not overcome in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's when you and I decide to give up. We give up. You know, we get discouraged, we get disheartened, or whatever it would be. One of the great works of the evil one is to condemn. To condemn you over your failures or over your defeats or whatever it would be. To shame you if he can. Make you feel bad if he can in any way. So that you will give up because you can't take the torment or the sense of defeat or failure or the fear of failure. I can't get back up and go at it again. Because I've failed so many times, and I just can't deal with that emotional upheaval anymore in my life because of that. And so then what the evil one does is he convinces us to learn how to live with it. It's just one of those unexplainable things. Yes, I know that's what the Word says. Yes, I know that that's what the promise is, but it must be for everybody else. I don't know what it is about me that I can't. And that's the lie of the evil one. That's his lie. I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to pray over some things. The Holy Spirit is coming to minister certain things here this morning. The miracle-working power of God is here, and the miracle-working power of God is here for you. And he wants to work many miracles in our lives. I'm just going to read this. If you don't mind, you can turn if you want or just listen. But this comes from John. This is in the third chapter, very familiar words. Verse 1 says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night, and he said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered, and he said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, and unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" That's a very difficult thing to explain, isn't it? About being born again, because it's not being born in the flesh. But it is a new birth that comes into the life of those who believe. A new birth of the Spirit, not of the flesh. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's really very difficult in itself to fully explain, maybe even to fully understand, but one has to humble themselves as a little child, as the Word of God says, and receive it by faith, and let God bring forth the wonderful promise of God of being born again. For the Word of God says, "The old things passed away, behold, new things come." He removes the old life. We're not a reformed people. We are a transformed people. We need as a church to get back to the power of God. Because without the power of God, we can't become nothing but a religious group of people with a set of religious rules and doctrines that we think that if we adhere to those doctrines that we're right with God just because we mentally assent in a position of saying that's what we believe, but having no life, having no reality. The Holy Spirit brings the power of the life and the reality of those things given in the Lord Jesus Christ. That as the word says over and over and over, that we may taste them. That's wonderful good news, isn't it? Glory to God. I'm going to finish this up. And then it says in verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Listen carefully, verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You don't see it, and you can't lay hold of it with your hands, but it's the Spirit of God that comes like the wind. And as powerful as we know that the wind is, that he comes like the wind and he brings the transformation that washes and brings. Now there I go. Good thing it's tied on. And he brings newness of life. Newness of life. Amen. We're going to pray over you. That the Holy Spirit release the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is flowing in five different avenues here this morning. The first one is in the salvation of God. The second one is the work of restoration. The third one is healing for your body. The fourth one is peace. And the fifth one is a work of grace. A work of grace. I'm going to start with the first one. As you've heard testimony this morning, that if you don't know that you're saved, that you can walk out of here with confidence of faith, witnessed by the Holy Spirit, just by simply believing Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the promise of God is, you shall be saved. I'm going to have every saint pray with me. Everyone pray. Everyone commit your heart to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come and make you a new creation. Maybe you have done this before, and in your heart you say, but it just somehow hasn't taken. I haven't seen that power of God. Well, I felt that the Holy Spirit is going to touch areas of hearts, and he's going to bring that transforming power that has been missing. It's coming here now, today. Everybody say with me, Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I surrender all to Jesus here, now, today, with all of my heart. And I thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release here and today in the power of the Holy Spirit all of the deliverance, O Lord God, that comes with being saved. to be delivered, oh Lord God, right now from controlling issues, that every work of bondage be removed in this place in the name of Jesus. No matter what it would be, that the work right now of every yoke and every affliction and every bondage in the name of Jesus, all appetite and enslavement to that which is not right, that which is not good, that which is not of God, that which is of the flesh, that which is of the world. In Jesus' name, your power is broken now. In Jesus' name, be uplifted and removed from the people of God. And I saw, number two, I saw restoration. And I'll tell you how I saw it. And you receive it. Do you need restoration? Where do you need restoration? That restoration is coming your way here today as you receive it. And this is what I saw. It's not like you've ever broke something and it broke, but you know you could grab a hold of it and you could kind of put it back together, you know, and you put a little glue to it. And, you know, and then it, you know, it almost looks just like it's restored. It's the same. But that's not what I saw. That's not what I saw. Have you ever had something that you dropped it or whatever it would be, and it just shattered into a million pieces? And there was just no way of putting it back together. That's what the Lord's going to restore. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord God, I release the work of restoration that, Father God, that, Lord, that what man can't do, Lord God can. And I give you the praise and the glory that right now the power of restoring relationships, Lord God, oh, of those things that, Lord God, that we don't know what to do with, we don't know what to do about. Oh, how we would reach in for another and we would work the work of God if we could, but we can't. We don't know. Oh, let it be released in Jesus' name right now. Be restored. Be restored from all those things that have shattered in Jesus' name. We receive it and thank you for it. Beatrice, I want you to pray, okay, as the Spirit leads you about healing for our bodies.
Yes, whatever pain, whatever thing you may be going on with your body, where there is any pain that you need healing for, we're going to believe the God who is the true God, the one and only true God, our healer, to do it for you. Just have simple faith and trust him. Open your heart as we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you because your word is true. We thank you because there is power in your word. You said, I sent my word to heal your disease. Father, that is plainly said to us. And by your stripes, we are healed. Father, we receive the virtue of your word upon everyone here who has some pain or some sickness or some disease or something going on in their lives. Father, I speak healing to their bodies right now in Jesus' name. I speak restoration right now. I speak deliverance from afflictions. I speak full recovery of health in the mighty name of Jesus. You said we should prosper in our health just as our souls prosper. Father, I speak prosperity in the bodies here right now. Those with backache, those with headaches, those with muscle pains, whatever pains there are, whatever aches there are, right now I speak a healing power of God from heaven to descend upon your body, and we say we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for granting it unto your people. Thank you for showing the power of your word unto your people, Lord God. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Even at this point, we remember Michael at the hospital. We remember Daryl, we remember many others who may be not here with us today. Whoever you know is needing this touch, just speak their names in your heart that God may touch them. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bless you because we know you have done it. You have accomplished it. You did it already on the cross of Calvary. You finished it. In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Peace, peace, peace. Peace of heart, peace of mind, But it's not only peace of heart that the Spirit will bring to you. Peace of heart, peace of mind. But the Holy Spirit is going to remove the chaos. He's going to remove the chaos. He's going to remove the drama. He's going to remove the chaos. He's going to remove the drama. He's going to raise you above it. And you will be kept by the power of God in your heart and your mind in His peace. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, let it be released now upon the people of God. Oh, Father God, thank you that, Lord, you remove all the chaos. Oh, Lord God. Oh, chaos in heart. Oh, Lord God, worry and strife and fear. Oh, be removed in the name of Jesus. Worry, strife, and fear. Be released in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing the peace of God. Oh, Lord God, in every heart, in every mind right now. To be ruled and reigned, oh, Lord God. Lord, no matter what the situation, the circumstances may be. No matter what the attack might be. No matter what comes in the name of Jesus. No matter what befalls in the name of Jesus. That, oh, Lord God, that your beloved, oh, right now, will be ruled with the peace of God in heart and in mind in Jesus' name. I want you to pray for the work of grace, whatever grace it might be needed here today upon your people, the people of God.
Amen. Father, you said in our weakness, your grace is made perfect. May the grace of God, the work of grace, be descended upon your people. Yes, Lord, we are weak, but you are strong. You are the God who fills us every day with grace upon grace. May that grace, the work of grace, be released upon your people, Lord God. I thank you for releasing it. I thank you for the grace to overcome, the grace to stand, the grace to walk, the grace to believe. Lord, what all grace that is needed. Let it be released unto your people today, because I know you are the God who gives us grace in abundance. May it fill our hearts today. May it fill our lives today. May it fill our situations today. May it fill in our families, wherever, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father.